short message today. I'm just waiting on the laughter.
Sore throat is a virus. Sinuses is a virus.
these different things that we experience. We experience our viruses. So that would almost make you look in the mirror and go, man. And the problem with it is, some of these things we've been carrying around for forever.
Right.
But guess what we've learned to do? We've learned to live with it and deal with it. But then there's this other virus. It's called a retrovirus. It's a nasty little thing. It's any of a group of RNA that inserts a, now listen, that inserts a DNA copy of their genome or their genesis cell into the host cell in order to replicate or simulate that DNA. AIDS. Can't put it on one person anymore because it's a nationwide epidemic. But it just shows you the strength that a RNA cell has the ability to genetically enhance itself into your DNA and change your DNA to make it think that it's not a virus. So my question is it possible that parts of our character or the character nature of our friends or family may align itself with one of these viruses?
Come on,
hey.
Come on.
I was going to sing a song, but the orchestra gone. So we're just going to keep it moving. It's 11:28. We'll just keep it moving. Go to Romans 7 and 12. Years ago, I heard Pastor Keith say this. I don't know whether he was teaching in a Sunday school class. I'm not sure. But he made a statement out of the book of Acts that just stuck with me. It attached itself to me. That everything has the ability to produce an effect. Whether it's a good effect or it's a bad effect. Because, see, there's no gray area. It's either good or it's bad. We like to try to convince ourselves that it's in the middle, but it's not in the middle. It's either good or bad. That's just the way it is. So, what this virus, the regular virus, does, it's an infective agent. It's a code that has the ability of copying itself, which it don't copy your DNA. It copies what's already going on in your body to help produce an effect in your body that makes you sick, makes you tired, makes you weary, changes your mindset, has the ability to interrupt or corrupt your ideas. That's what a virus can do. So in Romans, the 7th chapter, and if we look at the 12th verse, it says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. But the verse just before that says, for sin taking an occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me. Sin meaning old nature. Taking meaning obtained, and occasion meaning opportunity. It found an opportunity to persuade me and trick me into thinking that my life is absolutely okay. Despite all the problems that we may have created for ourselves, or we have allowed others to create for us, and it said by it, it did what? It slew me. When it talks about slewing him, it means that it separated me from God.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So this virus, and then look at 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become what? Exceeding sinful. That it might increase itself. That the virus might increase itself.
All right.
You know, they used to make antibiotics that just about got rid of everything. Now they make you take the same antibiotics, they don't work. Because that virus has found a way to reproduce itself and reproduce antibodies that can't be stopped. So therefore they have to give you stronger doses of antibiotics. See, Jesus is our antibiotic.
Hallelujah.
But he can't anti-buy if we don't call on him.
All right.
If you depended on me or one of these pastors or somebody, pastor on TV, to help you get through what you're going through and you ain't calling on Jesus, what's that say? Who said that? Trouble.
Heard that.
Is that who said that?
Players Club.
I watch it.
I was a sinner when I watched this thing.
I would have Bernie Mac and funny. Well, he was. Don't.
Okay.
Be nice, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, appreciate it. Nevertheless, exceeding, not just sinful, but exceeding sinful. Meaning that it's come to a place now where it has the ability to overwhelm my thoughts, overwhelm the principles of God that are in my life, overwhelm my decision making when it comes to doing right by God.
Yeah.
And it's not coming from without, but it's all coming from within.
Yeah.
I tend to aggravate people. I don't do it on purpose. But they say stuff, and then they want to know what I think about it. One of the guys, I don't know if he's a deacon or something, and he was, for some strange reason, everybody find out I'm a pastor, and I'm getting all kind of cards, evangelist cards. They got me twisted. Nevertheless, he says, I don't know about you, Red, but that dirty devil been chasing me all day. I said, why are he chasing you? He said, what you mean? I said, God gave you power over death, hell, and the grave. Why he chasing you? And you say you a man of God. You ought to be chasing him. He ought to be begging God for you to leave him alone.
Right.
Instead of stop telling God to tell you, stop talking about him. Blaspheming his name. When I decide to let the devil chase me, I'm done. It's time to have God come get me, God. And I ain't ready to go. So I'm going to keep that bad boy running. I'm going to keep him struggling. Because I'm going to fight him with the power of God.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to battle him with the word of God.
Amen.
I'm going to destroy him because Jesus already destroyed him on the cross.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, yes,
God didn't hear me today.
Yes. Come on now.
My sinuses have gotten so bad, I have been getting up in the morning, taking my anointing oil, anointing my sinuses, and drinking some anointing oil. Because the medicines do not work. What they do is create viruses in your system . I'm still talking about viruses. We mess around and become our own virus. 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am a carnal sold. I like the meaning for the word soul. It means to be trafficked. How many know what it means when you hear that folks are being trafficked? That means that somebody that don't know them or who aren't a part of their family has sold them into something that's going to be detrimental to their livelihood. So he trafficked us from the garden into this mess that we're in.
All right.
Man. And here you have a man who, I tell you all the time, raised the dead, opened blinded eyes, had limbs grow up under him, rebuked spirits from 200 feet off, had power to do all this stuff. But he said, you know what? I can't figure this out, God. I'm trying to do what's right. But every time I look up, I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm not supposed to be doing the wrong thing. You called me. You raised me up. You anointed me. You gave me power over death, hell, and the grave. Why am I struggling within myself to do that which is right in the eyes of God? Because he was infected with a virus. It's called the old nature.
Come on now.
He trafficked us into this mess.
Amen. Amen.
Without getting our permission.
Right.
Amen.
Anybody just threw you under the bus and, well, we ain't gonna go there. Volunteered you for something and didn't ask you if you felt like doing it. So now you got to figure out how to get out of doing it because you never said you was going to do it in the first place. But the person that's waiting on you to do it is so involved and caught up in you doing it. So instead of just saying, look here, I didn't say I was going to do it, I'm not doing it. We lie.
Amen.
We call them little white lies, or they got a new name for them now, suppressed lies. Meaning that it's not really a lie. It's a story. Because we believe in stories. Paul was saying, I got this virus on the inside of me. And it don't matter what I take, I can't kill it. Because I found out that this virus, this old nature, don't become a part of who I am. But he's about to come into a revelation. He says, so he done messed me up. So 15, for that which I do, I don't perceive or understand. For what I would, that I do. Not that I do not. God telling me to pray for you, but because you done aggravated me, my flesh say, so what? Pray for yourself.
Amen.
Raise an offering. God's speaking you to give an offering, but you say, I ain't gonna do it. Let them do it. Or you'll sit there and you go, they already got enough people up there. They don't need my dollar. You're right. We don't need your dollar.
Amen.
I'm loose this morning. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. For what I would that I do not, but what I hate morally, I know it's not moral.
Come on now.
I hate it, but for some cotton-picking reason, I keep finding myself right in the midst of it.
Yes.
Relax, boy. Relax. 16. If then I do that which I would not, that which I chose not, I consent unto the law that is good. Or I jointly consent unto the regulations that God has already established for me. He says jointly. When he says jointly, that means that I found a way to bring this virus under subjection to the pain medicine. Because I found out that I can do all things through Christ that has strengthened me. See, I like the epistles, I like the writer, I like the interpreter, because everything that he's talking about was something that he had to experience. Something he had to deal with. Right. Some things he made it through, some things he did not make it through. Right. He had to get up and restart.
Right.
Amen. Maybe your flesh will have you restarting. You think you don't want to Pastor Key's movies, The Outer Limits. You ever see? What's that movie with the guy in it where he had war and he had to keep reliving his life over and over and over?
Quantum Leap.
Yeah. She's funny. And he keeps trying to figure out how to get the best of it, to get over it. I got news for you. It don't work like that. You know, it's something about God's word. When you read it, it sounds a little bit mysterious. And you'd be saying to yourself, God, how do you expect me to understand this stuff? And you got it going each and every kind of way. Well, that's why God has allowed people to create study material. Paul said in 17, now that is no more that I that do it. Now see, this is where folks get twisted at. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. But the nature that occupies or co-inhabits my life with God. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's one thing we don't want to recognize.
Come on.
That means now you've got to accept responsibility for what you do and not what everybody is doing around you.
Amen, amen, amen.
Come on, amen.
Amen. Let me read this for you. Where did we start at? Verse 11?
12.
We're going to start at 11 because y'all are more confused than I am. 11. Now, this is how it reads in the Greek Hebrew rendition breakdown. For sin, seizing its opportunity through the commandment, beguiled and completely deceived me, and using it as a weapon to kill me, separating me from God. Verse 12. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. 13. Did that which is good, the law, then become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, in order that I might be revealed as sin, was producing death in me by using this good thing as a weapon. Because now you understand that all stuff you've been doing all time ain't right. It awakens you. It shows you something that you hadn't recognized before. It now shows you that hatred is sin. Persecution is sin. Jealousy is sin. All these things. Now I can throw a whole bunch of other stuff in there. Adultery is sin. These things which people do on a daily basis, I'm not talking about in the outside, I'm talking about in the church. When they start to get this word in them, they find out that they have a virus in them that's trying to control their actions. Right. Are you trying to tell me something, or are you just rubbing your...
Rubbing.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying could. I'm just asking. I just want to know, because you know how you and Tyrone are. Okay. I'm just asking. Now, for I, a 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Let's go over here. 14. We're going to count the conflict. We know that law is spiritual, but I am a creature of flesh, worldly, self-reliant, carnal, and unspiritual. How many people going to admit that? He's talking about church people. He's not talking about worldly folks. For I do not understand why my own actions, I am baffled and bewildered by them. Why are we baffled by some of the stuff we do and we go, what's that boy name? Did I do that? Urkel. Y'all know them folks, don't y'all? I know faces, I don't know names. And you stand there asking yourself, or you done got home and you said, I didn't do that, did I? Or you say, I didn't say that. Nobody told you you said it. Nobody told you you did it. But your flesh is now reminding you that you did it and that you said it so it could put you back in jail.
Amen.
Because you just started worshiping God and thanking God and praising God in the midst of your trial and your tribulation, and now your flesh should have woke up and going to tell you, you're wasting your time.
Come on, Pastor.
Because what was still is.
Right.
I'm almost done. Okay. Practice what I want to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate and yielding to my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity. 16. Now, habitually do what I do not want to do. Now, if I habitually do what I do not want to do, that means I agree with the law, confessing that it is good and morally excellent to obey the commandments of God. 17. So now, if that is the case, then it is no longer I who do it, but the disobedient thing which I despise, but the sin nature which lives in me.
Yeah.
Folks have no idea. I told a pastor the other day, he had to go in one ear and out the other ear. Because he was talking about something. And I said, look, let me explain something. Let me tell you something. When God made Adam, when God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, he gave him authority even before then.
When he was
in spirit form, God gave him authority over every creeping thing, every flying thing, every swimming thing, all the fish in the sea. Gave him authority over all the beasts of the field. So when he came from the dust of the ground, he came forth in authority already. So that meant that he had authority over the trees, over the grass, over the fruit. He had authority over the fish in the sea, not just the seas that surround them, but all seas.
Yes.
I'm trying to let you know, this man wasn't no joke.
Yeah.
He had authority over all beasts, not just beasts in the garden, but all beasts. And folks fail to realize that the serpent was in the tree. The word serpent in the Hebrew means nakash. It means a shining one. That means that what Isaiah said about him, all the rubies and everything, that's what was in the tree, not a snake. Uh-oh, I'm getting trouble for that one, Brother Andy.
My children, this morning, I'm trying to reveal something that will help you, that will give you victory over this enemy. Everyone talks about Lucifer, but he is not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one that is in you, the one that turned aside from my precepts and my commandments. I have delivered you over into this death that now walks within you. But the word that I have sent to you, it will bring forth a new idea of how I want you to operate. It will free you. It will deliver you. Heed the words of my man that I've called and set before you this morning. But he has the words of life because I placed this life within him. I have sent him into this world to preach this gospel, to reveal, because I'm coming back for a church without a spot nor wrinkle, without this dead one within it. And I shall reveal the way to overcome him. For the overcoming, I sent my son. He overcame this one. You must look into the law of liberty, that mirror that I've set in my word, and I will free you, saith the Lord.
Right. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Amen.
Scripture say, for the truth shall do what?
Set you free.
No. Make you free. Anything that can be set can be changed.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So then Paul says in 20, where am I at? Was I reading? I read 18?
No.
Yes, no. I'll do it again. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity. My willingness to do good is present in me, but doing of good is not. But the doing of it is not. 19, for the good that I would do, I do not, but I practice the very evil that I do not want to do. 20, but if I am doing the very thing I do not want to do, I am no longer the one doing it. That is, it is not me that acts, but the sin nature which lives in me. How many heard that? Which lives in me. I'm telling you, this man was no joke. Folks fail to realize that the Word of God in Genesis tells us God did not create him in the garden.
Amen.
Uh-oh.
Amen.
He was created on the outside of the garden. The Bible says God picked him up and put him in the garden. Because the word garden in the Hebrew means fenced in area. Because God already searched his heart.
Amen.
But I like how God always lets you set yourself up. Why have he, Adam, why have you done this? Adam, where art thou?
Yeah.
How many times you heard the voice of God say, why'd you do that? What was the purpose behind that? But then he went on to say that in the 22nd verse, he says, I'm in my Bible. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, meaning that I delight in the God in me because I have figured out the mystery.
Amen.
Yeah.
The mystery is, it's Christ in you, which is your hope,
amen,
your definite authority, yes, that you're going to make it.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
But you can only do it,
amen,
in Christ. But then Paul said in the 23rd verse, mess me up. When I read this verse, it just messed me up. First time I read it. But I see. It don't mean he's seen with his eyes. It means he perceives through experience that there's somebody else in his members. Somebody else messing with his works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody else messing with his walk.
Man.
Somebody else messing with his thoughts.
Yeah.
Somebody messing with his speech. Man. Somebody, I see another law or different from the law of God.
Man.
And it's doing what? It's warring, it's attacking the law of my mind, which is the Spirit of God, and it's bringing me into captivity.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it's talking about bringing me into captivity, it means it's not holding me bondage to Sister Nancy or Sister Debbie, but it's holding me bondage to myself.
Amen.
Because now I refuse to allow myself to worship God in spirit,
amen,
and in truth. Because now this virus has moved all through my body and has affected everything that I love most, which is God.
Amen.
Holy. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is where?
In
my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Mine, the new nature. This is the experience of everyone who is the subject of the grace of God and has received the gift of the new nature as the sign of God's justification. It is not the experience of one man in two successive stages, but it is a coexistence of two experiences in the one man at the same time.
Man.
That's why the Bible says, for your flesh is warring against the spirit, and the spirit is warring against your flesh.
Man.
You are in a battle every day, every night, every noonday. You are in a battle for supremacy over who you going to serve. The Bible revelation says, choose ye this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to choose on a daily basis from sunup to sundown who you will decide to serve. Because there's going to be warring going on in your spirit. Your flesh is going to war against your spirit, make you feel bad, make you hurt, make your feelings go forth, make your imagination go crazy. Make you see things you don't really see, hear things you haven't heard, feel and sense things that hasn't happened. Which changes your mood. It'll transform your principles and your ideas. Now we're getting into retrovirus. Because now you have allowed this thing to get into your spirit and totally regenerate itself in a way where it's now taking over your DNA and changing who you are.
Amen.
Because it has come to a place where it has disabled your immune system. Your immune system is that gives you the ability to fight back diseases and sicknesses.
All right.
Your immune system is Christ. And when you let this retrovirus infiltrate your host cells and begin to replicate and assimilate and look just like your regular blood cells, he got you. Because now you've come to a place where you see no wrong in what you're doing, but you see wrong in what everybody else is doing. So therefore you have the ability to justify what you're doing by what they're doing. And God is saying no, no, and no. I'm going to hold you accountable for the actions that you do in your body. Not what somebody else does. If you around somebody that hate, you better not hate like them. That's why folks get mad. Folks come to me all the time talking about, he get on my nerves. I say, yeah, okay. He cool with me. You're not going to sway how I'm supposed to feel or the way I'm supposed to think in God because of your crazy thinking.
All right.
Paul said, look here, I know I've screwed up, I've messed up, I'm having this battle with my flesh, but our Bible tells me this one thing, there is therefore, chapter 8, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are Christ Jesus. Notice now, when he first said in verse 25, it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, meaning my deliverer, my savior.
Now
he says in the 8th verse, therefore there is now no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Meaning that same Christ that was your salvation has died and rose again and given you power and authority over all things.
Amen.
So you don't have to yield yourself to the judgment that the old man always tried to put upon you. You can't go to church today. You know what you did yesterday.
That's right. Amen.
How you going to praise God knowing what the way you feel about that?
Come on now.
God's purpose for us is to keep pushing, keep pressing, keep fighting, keep running. And we ain't running from nobody. We're running to somebody.
Amen.
I'm running to Jesus.
Amen.
And the closer I get to him, the stronger I get to battle the virus or the retrovirus in my body trying to replicate my blood cells, trying to replicate me into something that I never want to become. Retrovirus tries to make you become what you used to be. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm just going to fake it till I make it. You keep faking and you ain't going to make it. You better get real with yourself and get real with God. You know, folks are always talking about AIDS, that God allowed AIDS to come into the world to punish homosexuals and all. Fool y'all, man. One scripture eliminates all that. For the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
The wages mean the payoff of that old man in your life. If you allow him to dictate how you live, how you preach, how you pray, how you seek God, you're going to die. Because he's going to replicate who you used to be and bring it to a reality where you don't even know who you are anymore. And once you stop knowing who you are, it's a wrap. You might as well go back doing what you was doing. Because you can't serve two masters. Take your pick. Either you're going to serve the one or you're going to serve the other. Well, all this stuff going, I try to call people, see how they doing. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm going through some man standing line. I got that from Sean. Standing line. You're not the only one. Everybody I know in the church is going through something in their life, whether they're 8 or 98. They going through something. They can't tell you about it. Because you loose ship, lips sink ships. They come to you in confidence. You've been to mess around and called your girlfriend. Y'all get to talking about a similar situation, and you just go ahead and tell. And then you sitting back after a while going, man, that's going to start some mess. Wrong, it already did. Be who God called you to be. If you be who God called you to be, you can't miss him. You know, we got all these old sayings, you know, I've come too far to miss him now. Yeah. I'm just determined I'm just not going to miss him. Whatever I have to do to be ready for my visitation with Christ, that's what I'm going to do. That's what's got to be done. Because beyond everything else, he's definitely been too good for me. He's been better than me than I've been to myself.
Yes, sir.
So what are we going to do? We're going to take antibodies, which is this word of God. And we're going to fill our bodies and our minds up with it. And the virus that wants to turn into a retrovirus so it can replicate who we used to be, we're going to bring it under subjection to the word of God. Keep trying to tell people, victory ain't on the other side of the trial. Victory is right in the center of the trial.
Amen.
You ain't blessed when the smoke clears. You blessed when you can stand in the smoke, lift up your hands, and say, God, you're worthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it feels like you're suffocating from the smoke, and the fire is all around you, burning your hands and your feet. But you still lift up your hands and realize that your joy is coming in the morning. Your morning is when you create it.
Right.
Stop waiting on somebody to create your morning for you. You'll be waiting for the rest of your life. And you most certainly going to miss out on what God has for you. I told myself, I say, self, if I let somebody trick me, or seduce me into missing what you got for me. You ain't got to send me to hell. I'm going to jump in there. Because you have been too good. And most of our enemies, don't y'all be looking at folks sitting next to you. It's most of the time at arm's reach. They're not across town. My brother found out where these gnats came from today. See, he get real ingenious sometimes. Somebody had opened a big can of fruit in the kitchen back there and forgot about it. So they're fruit flies. So he picked it up, put it in a bag. He said, man, this stink. I said, you think? This is serious. I'm not playing now. This is serious. If you think that you have a devil in you, raise your hand. Not even the baby raised their hand. Well, simply speaking, if you know for a fact that you don't have no devil in you, why you keep claiming that he's beating up on you? I'm done. I got Jesus in me. Jesus in there with all that hell and that trouble and that trial and that tribulation and that strife and that conflict. He in there with all that mess. But he's teaching me to separate it, Sister Jackie, so I can still live for him. God never delivered me of my bad attitude or my bad disposition. He just gave me the ability to keep it under subjection to what is right. The retrovirus will replicate itself and steal that from you.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I change words and songs all the time. Don't I? My mother-in-law gave me a song to sing down there in Mississippi. And I got up there and looked at her face when I started reading the words of that song. And forgot to, and couldn't see the words on the sheet. Maybe I made up a song. When I got through making up that song and throwing a little bits in there that I can remember, them folks were standing up. And I felt, I said, hey, I told you I messed that song up. But did nobody think so? I made up words. God was coming through, giving me words that sounded exactly like the words that was on the sheet, but they were not the words. My flesh told me when I got in the back, he said, you got away with another one, didn't you? I messed you up and you figured another way out. Right, I made up words. And if you hadn't listened to the song, or if you hadn't listened to the song a long time, you didn't have no idea. You would have never known. And God said, that's how I want. That's how I do things. Amen. Everybody stand.